The gospel lesson this morning is taken from the 13th chapter of Matthew. This is the good news about Jesus. At about that same time, Jesus left the house and sat on the beach. In no time at all, a crowd gathered along the shoreline, forcing him to get into a boat. Using the boat as his pulpit, he addressed his congregation, telling stories. "What do you make of this?" Jesus asked. "A farmer planted seed, and as he scattered the seed, some of it fell on the road, and the birds ate it. Some fell in the gravel, and it sprouted quickly, but didn't put down roots. So when the sun came up, it withered just as quickly. But some of the seed fell in the weeds, and as it came up, it was strangled by the weeds. Some fell on good earth and produced a harvest beyond his wildest dreams." "Are you listening to this?" Jesus asked. "Really listening?" The disciples came up and asked him, "Why do you tell stories?" Jesus replied, "You've been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works. Not everybody has this gift of insight. It hasn't been given to all of them, but whenever somebody has a ready heart for it, these insights will come, and understanding will flow freely. But if there is no readiness, no trace of receptivity, then it will soon disappear. That's why I tell stories, to create readiness, to nudge people toward being receptive and receiving insight." Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for your word today. We're grateful for it and ask that we might hear what we really need to hear so that we can do what we really need to do. And we thank you and are just so grateful that we have a word from you today. Amen. My dad was a farmer. He wasn't an ordinary kind of farmer, although I'm sure he had a hat something like this. But he wore his John Deere hat, and he wore his hunting hat, and he wore his Lions Club hat, and he wore his VFW hat, and he wore his rotary hat, and he had a whole bunch of different hats. But he also was a farmer. Now, my dad was a trained lawyer, but later in life, sitting on some land in West Virginia, the state that he was born, he decided, instead of hunting deer, which he also enjoyed doing, that he decided to take all those pine trees that he had in almost 200 acres of land and sell them. So my dad became a tree farmer. Pretty cool, right? Do you know a tree farmer? And so every 4 or 5 years, big trucks would come in, and they would just take all that lumber, all those trees out. And, you know, we did have deer and fox and some bear occasionally up there. But those animals were pretty hard to find once the trees came down. You could stand up at his house and look down into the valley and see nothing but just mud and debris. Looked pretty bad. Looked awful, in fact. But being a farmer, my dad knew that you can't just leave the ground that way. You need, after it's all tilled under and let it rest for a little while, people would come in and plant seedlings of those pine trees. Just thousands of them, just little seedlings all over the place. So it still looked like a moonscape, you know, barren wasteland. But soon, these were fast-growing trees made for the pulp industry. So they were quickly growing, and they were simply not used for lumber. They were used to make paper and package goods and things like that. And so over a course of 3 or 4 years, those trees were now 20 feet tall, maybe even higher. And the stalks on them, or the trunks on them, were maybe 15, 16 inches wide. And then another cycle would begin. And those big old heavy machines would come in and just level the landscape. And then he would sell the wood to the paper company. And a little while later, people would come in and plant new seedlings. You get the idea? That when, with farmers, it's a very, very cool occupation. Because when you farm, you always get a sustainable form of income or produce from the land. As our text said today, you reap what you sow. He planted pine trees and didn't get any carrots. He didn't get any tomato bushes. And he didn't get any oaks. He got pine trees. Now, imagine, after every harvest, of course, he would get something for that. Now, my dad wasn't a miner, but imagine if you were a miner. Now, a miner's a cool job, right? Have you ever been in a mine? Have you ever been in the cavern somewhere? Like, you know, go underground and you see caverns? My wife and I have been in caverns in Cuba and in Turkey and in a number of places here in the United States. Very, very cool. Go underground. I swear they make these tunnels smaller and smaller because I barely get through these things, but I don't know. But in a mine, we don't spend a lot of time in a mine, but miners, they go down underground and they drag out resources where it's really dark. That's why they need lights. The sun is far from where the mine's resources are. And when they bring these resources back out from underground and they go back again another day, those resources are gone. And so they have to dig a little deeper. They have to go further down in the ground. They have to say, well, there's no more iron ore here, so maybe we'll have to get, you know, maybe a different kind of a mineral. And miners are very important. You know, mines, the things they pull up out of the ground aren't just rocks and stones and minerals, but they are used in science and technology. A lot of the things we use, it's not called Silicon Valley, except it comes out of the ground, right? Silicon. So mining is very, very important, but you do not have sustainable resources in a mine. Once you take it out, it's gone. So this is very different, isn't it? What if your church, our church, was a mine? What would it look like, and how would that look differently than if your church was more like a farm? What do you think? Well, a church, and again, they're both good. We need mines and we need farms. So in a mine, that would be the kind of church that is simply living on resources that it has collected over time. It's like they have a stash away underground. And when this, and again, it's not a bad thing. It's just another way of doing business. Except the only thing is that unless you get a lot of interest on your money, which I know Cold Spring has investments and things, we get a lot of interest on our money, which is very cool. But in a church, and I've worked with many, when they keep drawing down the resources, eventually the resources are gone. There's nowhere else to go. You know, the iron ore, the silicon, the crystals, the stones are no longer there. So no matter how hard the miner works, the resources cannot be sustained. So a church that's a mine eventually will go out of business. Now I sense here at Cold Spring Church, New Brick Presbyterian Church, that here at Cold Spring, we have and are figuring out how to become less of a mining church and more of a farming church. So what would a farming church look like? So remember, if a farming church would be sustainable, it would be something that is done that doesn't consume all the resources. Let me give you an example of how a farm could become like a mine. It would be when I asked Charlie, where's Charlie sitting? There you are, Charlie. If I'd asked Charlie every single day to come help me at the church, every single day, and we do good stuff together. Charlie, once he has his thumb looked at, we're going to be playing guitar together. But let's just imagine, Charlie, every single day, Charlie would get tired. He'd get worn out. Because, see, people are a renewable resource, but they're not a sustainable resource unless you take care of them. So even though Charlie and I might be making music together, which could be cool, if we overdo that, Charlie would get tired, I might get tired, you all might get tired for that matter. And so it just isn't a good thing. So in churches, when you become a farming church, you need to figure out things that focus on relationships and relationships that you can nurture and build the relationships so that they're healthy and strong. So that when you come to church, for instance, have you ever thought about sitting in a different place one week? Scary, right? Ah! Please don't do that. Well, you know, one week, why don't you do that? Now, you might say, well, Pastor, you're always up at the front. Well, you know what? I happen to walk around a lot in my services. That's because I need to burn calories. So I wonder if, pick on Charlie again, because he's such a good sport. I wonder if Charlie one week, can you imagine Charlie sitting in the front? Oh, my gosh. Who is that guy sitting in the front, honey? I don't know who that is up there. Looks like Charlie. Couldn't be Charlie. He doesn't sit in the front. Well, I wonder. Or I wonder if you sat in a different place, if you'd say hello to a different person if you sat over here one week. Now, don't all do this in the same week, because you'll probably end up where you started. Sitting with the same people, I mean. But this is the kind of thing that we should be a little more intentional about. So that we get to know people a little better. Or are you aware that on December 3rd, we have a very cool gingerbread house-making event for kids and adults? December 3rd. I know Judy is sort of the ringleader of that project. Don't deny it. But you had a number of four or five, six people that were working with Judy. Who are they? Yeah, Mike and Norma. And who else? Joan. There was another one or two. Maybe they're not here today. But that's awesome. See, now, why that December 3rd event is a farming event. Because at this gingerbread house building thing, we're going to meet people that we may not know. Now, hopefully, not everybody will be new. Oh, and actually, that'd be a good thing. But I'm sure we'll already know a lot of people that are there. But the thing is, there will be people that maybe know nothing about Cold Spring Church. And they're going to come because, and the session met and talked and sort of built on the good energy, it's going to be a free event. And it's going to be a free event so that the community can feel like you don't have to pay to have a good time at Cold Spring Church. And when they come, I wonder how many of you may want to come because you like gingerbread, but because you may want to meet some of the new people that come. And so they know that Cold Spring Church isn't just a room with a lot of cool gingerbread in it, but it's actually a church that has people in it that care about others. See, so the December 3rd event is a farming event. We have another event. Is it in December, Kevin, with the chandelier restoration project? December 11th? Good. December 11th. That's a farming event. The farming event is because we're going to be trying to raise some funds to restore this chandelier. And when you get really close to it, you know, you can't even see yourself in it. It's so dull. But they're going to fix that up and make it more energy efficient. And they're going to fix it so that it won't fall on my head. And they're going to just make it look really cool. So this is going to attract people. I know you, I hope you all come. But we're going to have an opportunity to be a farm. And we're going to plant seeds. And the seeds are relationships. So next time you invite a friend to worship, next time you invite a friend over to Parish Hall for some dinner, next time you plan on going to that gingerbread event or getting young people to come and bring their parents to that event, we become more and more of a farming church and less of a mining church. Now, mines are good, and we need to care for our mine very, very carefully. And the more events that we can have as farming events, things that cultivate relationships, things that produce things, like the flea market, it would be a farming event. Any kind of an outreach, inviting people to work on some of the session teams. There's a worship meeting, I think, this week. People interested in worship. Do you want to come and help the elders plan worship and Jane work on worship for Advent and Christmas? I think you may want to come to that. It's a farming event because it doesn't consume resources. It tries to build resources. And when the resources are used, they're planted again back into the ground so that they can be taken back again. And lastly today, one of our greatest farming events is this worship service. Because as we gather people for worship, our resources are replenished. I hope every one of us who comes to worship leaves feeling a little bit more energized, feels a little bit more connected, feels a little bit more in touch with what God is doing in the world and what God is doing in our midst, so that each time we gather in a worship experience, our resources, like that ground that laid fallow and then new seeds were planted, that new seeds are being planted here. Jesus again put it this way. After the farmer planted the seed, he said, "You have been given insight into God's kingdom. This is how it works. Not everybody has this insight. It's only given to those who are ready for it." I think Cold Spring Church is at a place of readiness, and that each of us, as we become open to what God is doing in our lives and the lives of one another and the lives of our community, that this will be true for us, that we will be receptive to what God is doing as we try some new things and explore some new opportunities. That's why God's blessings will flow freely. This is why Jesus told stories or parables, so that all of us could get at a state of readiness, a state of openness, because we want to be that farmer that didn't let his seed fall in the weeds to be choked to death. And it didn't. We don't want our seeds, our gifts, our abilities to be thrown as if on the gravel that would grow very quickly and then just die because there's no roots. We want to be the place of the good soil, Cold Spring Presbyterian Church, a place where God freely gives and the people freely grow. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you that you have placed us in this garden of a church. And we thank you for our mine and those resources that have been accumulated over time from generous givers like us of the past. But we especially thank you for the ideas that are emerging as we try to produce crops, produce new encounters with the community, produce new opportunities to learn and to grow. We thank you for bringing us together today and pray that each of us, as a seed planted in the good soil, might produce fruit 100-fold in your kingdom. Amen.